Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. As we cry, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see you. Captivate my heart, make it all your own, melt away my every longing, till I'm yours alone. Breathe upon me, my spirit new. Let me know your holy presence as I worship you. worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you. On bended knee we come, with humble hearts we come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you. Make our spirit anew. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make your church a holy praise unto you. On bended knee we come, with humble hearts we come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to make our spirit anew. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make your church a holy praise unto you. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make your church a holy praise unto you.
You know what? This is a great time to stand. It really is, trust me.
I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And I stand, I stand in awe of you. I stand, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand.
Good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the blessing, Lord, that it is to come before you, Lord, and just to worship you, to pour out our love on you, Lord, you that have poured your love out on us. Lord, we know the two can't compare. And Lord, we just offer our hearts and we offer everything we are to you, Lord. Lord, just open up your word. Open up heaven for us today. May we learn more about you. May we feel your presence here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some time ago, there was a church that put a sign on its front door saying, "This is the entrance to heaven." Sometime later, they went under some remodeling, And they had to put another sign on the door saying, please use other entrance. We know that's not how it works, don't we? There's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. And there is no other entrance. A pastor in Bend, Oregon, a church I was going there, there's something he used to say quite often. He said, the main thing is to make sure the main thing remains the main thing. Genesis 3:22-24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Revelation 22:3-4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There's a writer named T. Austin Sparks. In his book, The Centrality of Jesus Christ, he says, with the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation, we have the whole bound of human history. And as we read through the scriptures, this whole story of man's creation, calling, and destiny, we seem to see that one matter governs the whole long record of human life. And this one matter is that of the face of God. The expulsion from the garden was expulsion from the face of the Lord. From that time, the face of God was never again seen by man except in tokens such as his mercy, his goodness, and even then, only on certain conditions. But his face in reality, man did not and could not see. I know what you're probably thinking. Let me finish the quote and I'll address it. And throughout this book, we find that man's greatest blessing, highest good, and deepest longing always related to the face of God. As I said, I know what you're probably thinking. I'm going to read that last sentence of the quote again. And throughout this book, we find that man's greatest blessing, highest good, and deepest longing always related to the face of God. Man has not seen God. And yet you're probably saying, well, Jesus was seen. Jesus is God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But have you really? You've seen his essence. You've seen who he is. But can we totally, fully see the face of God? We're limited in what we can perceive. I think it was Chuck Missler, he did a teaching in one of his teachings. He was talking about dimensions. And he said that a two-dimensional being, one that only height and width, is incapable of conceiving of a three-dimensional being, one that also has depth. How many dimensions do you think God has? More than we can imagine, isn't it? Heaven is more than we can imagine. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We can't fully appreciate, we can't fully conceive of God and of what he looks like. I think someday when we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed. I know we're going to be amazed by the things that we can perceive and the things that we can see. You know, if there was an island someplace that only had deaf people on it, and everybody was deaf, everybody had always been deaf, the idea of sound would be something so foreign to them that they couldn't grasp it. And I think heaven's going to be like that for a lot of us. I think we're going to have other senses that we don't know about. We're going to see other colors that we couldn't imagine before. And we're going to see God the way he really is, in all his fullness, in all his glory. The oldest book of the Bible has a beautiful passage in the 19th chapter. Of course, I believe that's the book of Job, is the oldest book. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. How my heart yearns within me." How my heart yearns within me. We see this all throughout the Bible. Numbers 6, 24 through 26 is the Aaronic blessing. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Psalms 4, 6, "Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." Psalms 31, 16, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant." Psalms 89, 15, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, that they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Psalms 27, 8, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." The old men of the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joshua. I'm going to read some verses about something they all did. Genesis 8:20, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord." Genesis 12:27, "The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give them."